Hello, witches. This is Kara Kovacs, and this is Business Witch. As a third-generation witch, at least, and a business and life coach for mission-driven entrepreneurs and leaders, I teach you how to make money and magic as liberatory practices. Because when we know, seek, and embrace our full potential, we create a better world for everyone. Here you'll find tools, conversations, spells, and inspiration that take you from waiting to creating so you can build the business and life you're oh so worthy and capable of having. Let's go. Merry Christmas, bewitches. If you listen to next week's episode coming out on New Year's Day with one of our favorites, Colin Bedell, he made that up. I can't take credit for it, but he was like, where are my bewitches at? And I don't know why I didn't come up with that sooner, but welcome to the bewitched community. Happy holidays. This episode is slated to come out on Christmas Day, so if you're listening to it sometime in the future, sending you well wishes wherever you happen to be, I wanted to talk about a way to make business a little bit more fun, bring some lightness, bring some levity, bring some joy, and also save you some grief. What I'm about to talk about is much harder to do than it sounds, right? It's always, you know, the implementation of this versus ideologically, you know, you could think about it and be like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But actually putting it into practice is something that I'm certain I will continue to be working on for many years to come. But what it is that I'm talking about is using your energy in a way that is actually supportive to your business and conducive to the work. When I started my business, I spent a lot of time and energy focusing on things that were just a complete waste of time and energy to be focusing on. I was really nervous about like people I went to high school with looking at my social media and thinking judgmental thoughts about me. That was like a thing that took energy from me. I was nervous about like putting something out there, and then in the time that it took to see if like somebody was going to reply to an offer, I would just like reload my email. And like, I was pitching myself for events and like teaching opportunities. And if people didn't reply to me within a couple of hours, I was like, where are they? What are they doing? Why aren't they responding? And of course, a lot of people just like don't reply to you. That's part of business, right? So like, back then, not hearing back from someone, I had taken the time to write a really like tailored, thoughtful, intentional pitch to. I could have spent so much time reloading my email and obsessing about it. Now, 6 years later, if I don't hear back from somebody, I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm kind of expecting it sometimes. So I do want to just encourage you that some things that feel massive with time and practice, you get over them a little bit. I remember the first time someone didn't pay an invoice and then ghosted, which has probably happened like 3 times ever. But like, listen, that shit always sucks. But the amount of time I spent obsessing over that, the amount of time I spent obsessing over unsubscribes from emails or people who I thought followed me, and you go to their profile and you realize they don't follow you anymore. Like, spending energy thinking about that shit is costing you a lot of money, a lot of peace. And it's like really not fun, right? It's like you are using your precious energy in your business to focus on things that actively make you feel bad. That is not CEO behavior, okay? It's really hard. It's really hard to be like, well, I'm just not going to look at the unsubscribes, or I'm not going to be emotionally impacted by the unsubscribes, or the response to, you know, maybe you crafted a really like sweet email to a local place that you would have loved to collaborate with and it went ignored. And like, you are spending time in your mind writing an unkind story about yourself where it's like, they must have just like not thought I was good enough, or whatever it is that you're telling yourself. Like, not only do these things cost you time and money and energy in the moment, but they also plant little seeds of doubt in your ability to do this. They make you feel you know, a little bit more sensitive to reaching out again in the future. And they can even tarnish, like, because sometimes people just didn't respond to an email because they missed it, because they were like bogged down, because they are, unlike you, like not very good with email. And it wasn't even intentional. It wasn't about like your worth or how much they would have liked to collaborate with you or really anything about you. But because you wrote that story, you then like stopped going into that place or neglected to send the follow-up that could have changed the outcome of the original email, or didn't email new places because like you wrote and internalized a particular story about yourself. So the cost of harping energetically on these things is so much bigger than just the amount of time that you spend obsessing over it, which in and of itself is a huge cost to the business. And so when I say like, how can you make business more fun? What I really mean by that is using your energy strategically in a way that is supportive to the growth that you want to create in your business, full stop. The implementation part, as I said, is hard because it really takes practice. You know, there was a time where like I could be waking up in the middle of the night, like obsessing over something that had irked me that is ultimately relatively small. And like, again, in 6 years of doing business, if I were to reflect back on the things that I found extremely emotionally impactful and like disruptive and kept me from having peace in my work, I'm sure there are more examples than I can remember, which is like thing number one, I don't even remember a lot of these. And then thing number two, like the rest of them, the ones that I actually do remember, the majority of which happened within the first 2 to 3 years of my work when I was like practicing and getting better at what I do, was probably like you could count on both hands the number of times. So it's like, these are really not that many things in the grand scheme of things, often go completely unthought about. But I think also the impact of them is like we tend to focus and harp on these things more than the positives that we receive. So like a client will be like, you had this tremendous impact on me. You changed my life. Like, thank you so much for this help. And you receive that. You might feel gratitude. You might feel, you know, emotional about that. Maybe you have a little tear. And then you go like right back to doing the thing. Like you don't sit and stew and luxuriate in the impact of the work with the same kind of frequency that I see people, myself included, tend to like really ruminate on the shit that pisses you off. And I think this is really human nature to like focus on the negative. You know, we are problem solving as a species. Like our gut instinct is to focus on things that are difficult a lot of the time, because then we think that we can fix those things. But what we're actually doing is just like creating a bunch of unnecessary negative energy in our work. And so I wanted to offer you for 2024 a nice little resolution around using your energy in your business really strategically. And that means watering what it is that you want to bloom, as opposed to watering these kind of, for to think of them metaphorically, these sort of weeds in your business. So to focus on like perceived malintent and the opinions of other people who, one, were never going to purchase anything from you anyway, two, probably don't even work in your industry, or three, maybe if they do work in your industry, because one of the things that you're focusing on and obsessing about is like compare and despair, they're not like spending that amount of time like compare and despairing to you. And that is not, you know, making you more confident or better in your work so as to be like, I don't even think that there is competition in this industry, but like, for your quality of work to get better, it's not like gonna come from thinking about what you're jealous about in somebody else's work or success, right? So to use your energy more strategically and to not give your valuable time and energy and effort in business to things that are ultimately pointless. And this is going to serve you well in so many areas. Like I think this also comes up for people a lot in relationships, right? Where I'm guilty of this all the time. I've talked about this on the podcast before. Like I have an anxious attachment style. Sometimes I want my partner to text me back when he is busy, and I can write like a whole narrative about how unwanted I am and how he is like, must be doing other things, or he's like with his other girlfriends having way more fun without me. And like, he's always talking to everyone else except me, right? Like my mind will go down some like crazy narrative writing. Turns out he was like working. He was just working and he turned off his phone so he could be working, period. But like I created a whole universe where like I was unwanted and like not important in that time frame, right? Or if you've ever like thought you were in an argument with a friend and you were like sitting there obsessing, are they mad at me? Did I do something wrong? They must hate me. But like actually they got into a fight with their partner and forgot to respond to your text message. And so I just being really mindful of these universes that we create with our conscious minds, we're such great storytellers, and how often you use that energy to write a story that is a horror, that, you know, that is a scary story as opposed to a wild fantasy or an epic romance or a rags to riches. Like, why is it so much easier for most of us, not all of us, but for most of us to like write these really unkind stories about ourselves? So the strategy that I use to kind of reframe and come back to center are like the basic ass shit that anybody else would tell you. You know, like go on a walk. If you are stuck in a negative thought spiral, get up, stop working, go outside and walk around the block. You would be amazed. Like I could be having an existential crisis and I take a 10-minute walk and I'm like, oh, everything in the world is beautiful. And I was so isolated in my apartment at my desk and I like jumped on the doom spiral train and rode it all the way to my own personal hell. But all I needed to do was go outside. So tip number one, take a walk. Tip number two, are you dehydrated? Like, do you need to go get a drink of water or some chamomile tea or something? Tip number three, if you are feeling super emotionally activated by something, sleep on it before responding. I did not have this skill my first year of business. I loved sending emotionally charged responses. I wonder how many emails are floating out in the internet ether that I really wish that I had never sent. Again, I don't really remember them, but I'm sure there are some emails where I sound completely insane because I had to learn tip number three, which is to sleep on it before responding. Like you really want to anchor into highest self, CEO, coach, facilitator, like whatever archetype that you resonate with. That's the space you want to respond to things that are activating from. So like, you know, I just released an episode about how to fire a contractor, or like if somebody missed a payment, I have written about this on my email list too. You need to be able to slow down enough to be responding from a regulated place. And so if you receive something that makes you dysregulated, and then the part of you, like the saboteur, the victim, the inner child, like the part of you that has this impetus to go into self-defense, maybe doesn't have the best words to say. And so going and sleeping on it and making sure that even if you're still upset, you're able to access a deeper wisdom part of you, which we need to be in the practice of engaging that part of ourselves as much as possible as business owners, because, you know, ultimately we're all just children pretending to be grownups. And it's so easy to be selfish or childish or, you know, resentful. Like those are human emotions and they're normal. They don't support your clients. They don't support your employees. They don't support the long-term vision for what it is that you're creating in your body of work. Like they're just not helpful. And if you need a beat, whether that's like a 15-minute meditation or a night of sleep, like you don't need to respond to an email as soon as you get it, even if I'm the one who sent it to you and old me is like, why didn't they get back to me? It's been 3 hours, which is crazy, but that, you know, that's how I was, that I'm very fast with email. But just really taking that time to like respond from a place where if you read that response back, like if you read what you wrote back in 6 months, you'll be like, yeah, I stand by what I said. So taking the appropriate amount of time to really be able to do that. Other tips for really refocusing on joy, keep a little catalog of all of the positive feedback you get from clients so that when you are, you know, worrying about the impact of the work or focusing on a negative comment, you can go reflect on some of the more positive things that you have done in the work. This can also be really helpful for getting into the headspace of speaking to new clients that you might want to call in, or really expressing the power of a particular offer or initiative, because it puts you in the energy of remembering the impact of the work, which again, it's like somebody can tell you you changed their life and they're like, okay, you're like, okay, yeah, thanks. Okay. And you just like move on from it, as opposed to someone's like, your post sucked and they never even worked with you and you like obsess over this internet troll for a week. I think of it too, it's like kind of like the princess and the pea. Like you can be just like laying on a mattress full of feathers, but you're focusing on like that one part on your body that just feels a little bit tense and you send all your energy there and that's like all you think about and all you focus on. And it's like, no, like let's really allow ourselves to luxuriate in the feathers, in the fluff, in the nice, in the good. Like there's so much of it there. But sometimes you need a little space where you can reconnect to remembering that and refer back to it as needed. Okay, next tip. Keep your focus on the big picture, the end game, the ultimate goal. This is a key practice to cultivate as an entrepreneur in general. So a question you can ask yourself is, will I be thinking about this in 6 months? Will this have a measurable impact on the business based on how I respond to it, whether that be because I learned a valuable lesson about how to respond to similar such situations, whether that be because I preserve the reputation and the integrity of the work over my own personal feelings about how somebody is behaving or acting, or whether that be because I can appreciate how I acted for myself, you know, that I can look back on this moment and be proud of the way that I showed up. And then the last thing is like, if I'm thinking about the bigger impact of the mission, what response best serves that? What best serves the mission, right? And so you really want to focus on like you're building a body of work. So one person's opinion or like one negative contractor relationship or like one person that you have to let go or, you know, just shit that happens in doing this work. Like it's uncomfortable. It's not fun. I don't like those conversations. I don't like having them. I don't like dealing with that shit. But like you have a business, like what the fuck did you think you were going to have to deal with? Did you think that it was going to be all sunshine and rainbows and like healing energy and light and love? Like, no, it's not. You have a business. Like there are uncomfortable parts of it. And I think the thing about discomfort too, that like really is a struggle for me and like, for lack of a better word, uncomfortable, is that the biggest growth opportunities are always in those uncomfortable moments. You know, the like big fear that you feel before you walk into your first networking event or pitch your first package or do the first closing call on the first client consult that you have or speak in front of a large audience for the first time or submit a book proposal or guest on a podcast where you like really respect and admire the guest, like all of that stuff. The biggest growth opportunities are in those moments. And those are the moments. I had a dream last night that I'm just remembering as I'm recording this about like having really bad public speaking anxiety. I love being in front of an audience. I love commanding a stage. And I always feel before I go on a stage, like I have to pray because I get so overwhelmed in my nervous system. I get like choked up. It feels so like being on the precipice of a major embarrassment to speak in front of people. And it's also one of the things that I love the most. One of the things that honestly I think is one of my strongest assets as a business owner is like how good I am in front of an audience. And I always find it to be so incredibly uncomfortable. So like these big opportunities for getting in front of the right room of people that's going to help you acquire clients, meeting people that you maybe wouldn't have met otherwise, the biggest growth opportunity for the business at large, like expanding into the next level or iteration of whatever it is that you're doing, all of that stuff has a growing pain effect. And if you perceive the pain or the discomfort as a sign that it's too much for you or that you should stop or that it's not right, like you're really missing some of the most beautiful, most important growth moments that happen in a business and that are a necessary part of doing this work. So I want to encourage you to be compassionate with yourself in moments of growth, to be thoughtful and understanding of the part of you that wants to recoil and run in the opposite direction and hide and absolutely not do the thing. And that part of you will be there when you're very first starting out. And that part of you will be there when you're doing some of the biggest things that you ever do in your body of work. Like, that's a normal response and reaction. It's not a sign to not do the thing. It is a beautiful learning opportunity for really getting comfortable sitting in the uncomfortable, getting comfortable. And I like to, you know, personally, I like to make light of it and to acknowledge it. And so I'll say in front of an audience, it's hilarious. I've done this 500 times and y'all still making me super nervous, right? Or I'm just going to say it so I'm not thinking about it constantly. I get super sweaty when I talk in front of people. Can you see it on my face? Because I'm thinking you can see it on my face. Like, I just like to like call it out and to bring some humanity into those kinds of moments so that, and it's in addition to something that I just talked about in a newsletter, like saying what's true as nicely as possible. It's just like, yeah, it's real. Like, I get public speaking anxiety. LOL, don't you? Like, you're getting spoken to by a real person and not an AI robot. How refreshing. I'm sweaty and I'm going to keep saying and like a lot. You know, like, do you not think what I have to offer you is valuable anymore? Because you'd be sorely mistaken. That sounds like a you issue. Like, just like making it funny, right? So that is another kind of like skill I want to invite you to cultivate as well, is just like bringing levity into the ridiculousness of all of these things. Like, I cannot believe how much time I spent obsessing over people responding to an email or sending me a negative comment or even like asking for a refund or, you know, terminating early because like I don't like those things. They suck. But that's ultimately like where somebody else's journey, like that has nothing to do with the long-term success of my business. Things that do have to do with the long-term success of my business is how I show up in those moments, how I hold myself in those moments, the way that I respond after the fact. So if I need to build in more clear languaging in my contracts or in the way that I hire people and what it is that I, how I manage them and what I ask of them and how I communicate what it is that I ask from them, or like maybe, you know, what I could do better next time if I could have like spoken to somebody sooner about an issue or something that I was feeling coming up in the work. And I ignored that because I didn't want to be uncomfortable. And now learning like, okay, when I'm feeling something is off, my responsibility is actually to address it as opposed to run away from addressing it, right? So like all of these things you're learning as you're going through them, and they feel shitty sometimes, but they're actually like some of the most rich experiences that you can have to make the quality of your work better. And maybe if this is possible for you, to even celebrate and like cultivate resilience in surviving through them, right? Like, whew, okay. I went through my first like negative client conversation where they left and they were not in a good mood. Like, I'm gonna get myself a cocktail or a fancy latte or take a bubble bath or whatever, because now I know what that is like. And next time it happens, I'm gonna do it better. And I'm like not gonna be as tripped up in my words. And like, I got me. I still love me. Everything is fine. The work is still impactful. I'm still going to have this business in 5 years, whatever, right? So bringing that to the work and giving that to yourself, right? Like, this shit is not easy. It's not always fun. But I think there's always humor to be found in the difficult parts too, because then it's also like, yeah, look at me ruining my own day over a fucking Instagram DM. Like, look at me. I'm ridiculous, you know? So let's make 2024 the year that you actually keep your eye on the prize. And I say this, like, this episode is applicable to everyone, no matter where they're at in their business. But I also think like that the truth is that the like amount of time that y'all are spending obsessing over these things that are ultimately tiny nothings is really, really holding you back. Like, a little personal prompt, if you could guesstimate the number of hours you spent focusing on shit in your work in the last month and or year, you can do one or both of those prompts, Like, how much more time would you have on your calendar? How much better would you have slept? Would you have come up with different offers and like optimized and iterated on what wasn't working instead of like thinking about why it wasn't working and what that meant about you? You know, like how many hours would you have back on your calendar and what would you prefer to spend that time doing instead? I know for me, like sometimes my assistant and I need to clear things, because I'm not saying not to be legitimately pissed off, especially if like somebody has pulled the rug out from under you, if you've been blindsided by something, like if somebody said something really nasty, like I'm not saying not to be impacted by that. You are a person, you are allowed to have feelings. I'm saying don't let that become your entire Monday or your entire work week or your entire reason for writing the next thing that you write, unless there's like deeper value that you can kind of teach or guide to your community from that. Because sometimes, you know, my assistant and I, we meet every single Monday. We'll get on a call and we'll be like, okay, like we're going to talk about how insane that was. Like we're going to make fun of that like weird copy that that contractor sent us. We're going to like air out whatever icky feelings came up from like how the way that we implemented that system did not work and somebody complained about it. Like it's fine. It happens. We feel shitty about it. Okay, like what are our goals for the next week? What are our goals for the next month? What are our goals for the next quarter? What are our goals for the next year? We don't have time to be talking about this longer than that, right? So like acknowledge and move on. Acknowledge and move on. And you might have to do that throughout your day because you might find yourself, you know, you get back into obsessing about it again and you can like give yourself that moment. Oh, look at me. Here it is. I'm thinking about it again. Acknowledge, move on. And the way that I just want to close out this episode is by providing you with one more tool. And it's honestly one of my favorite tools to use when I coach my one-on-one clients as well, is I really like to think about this stuff like parts work. There is a real, valid, and tender part of you that feels deeply the emotional impact of things happening, perhaps in a way that you do not particularly like, right? As I said before, like on this episode, the inner child, the inner victim, whatever, really creating space to validate that part of you's feelings, the part of you that's afraid of sharing your offer, that's afraid of talking about money, that's afraid of putting stuff out there, that's afraid of going on to the next level, right? Maybe making your first investment in a coach or making your first investment in an employee or saying, you know what, this is the year that I'm going to double my revenue. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to probably purchase some things that feel a little edgy and scary because I'm purchasing them without knowing with 100% certainty that they're going to create that income on the other side of this purchasing decision. Like all of the parts of you that get really activated around that, the part that is in self-judgment, the part that is in self-doubt, self-sabotage, the part that is like, is this really meant for me? Am I actually as talented and as capable as this other part of me believes that I am, or as I feel I am when I'm in the work, but then when it's just me in my house at the end of the day and I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to make enough money to pay my bills doing this, or if I should just like give up and get a job, or like if I buy this thing, if it's actually going to pay off, like all of that inner dialogue is coming from a particular part of you. That part is super, super valid. I would like to speak directly to that part right now. Hi, the way that you feel makes all the sense in the world. Every fear and every thought that is keeping you up, that is making you feel stuck, that you're not exactly sure how you're going to move through, I see you. I get that. You make sense. I'm holding you up, right? And to the other part of you, the other part of you that is capable, that loves this work, that couldn't imagine doing anything else, that wants to see a world where the way in which you help people can reach as many people as possible, and who is willing to be uncomfortable in order to be able to create that, who is willing to get things wrong, who is willing to be embarrassed, who is willing to mess up, who is willing to quote unquote fail, to that part, can you hold the part that is really afraid? Can you be in conversation and actually spend some time, maybe before you sit down to work or before you step into a kind of a situation that makes you feel energetically vulnerable, and be in relationship with the part of you that knows that you can do it and the part of you that's afraid, and actually have an embodied conversation, whether that be out loud, literally go talk give yourself a pep talk in the mirror. Like, hey, I see you. I got you. I love you. We can do this. Even if we fall on our faces, I'm still going to love you, right? Or maybe in meditation, or you write yourself a letter and you keep it on your desk, or you say it as a prayer before you go into an enrollment call or a podcast interview or what have you. But really connecting the dots between these two versions of self, the one that is afraid and the one that has always known that there was literally nothing else that you should be doing as a career in the world, right? And the more you can actually be in relationship with those two parts of self, build a bridge, a line of communication, a connectedness that you can really understand that both of them are right, right? Like, you're right that it is scary, and you're right that you can do it. And you're right that it might not work out, and you're right that you'll still be okay even if it doesn't, like that you can hold both of those truths at the same time and feel that discomfort without pushing it down or negating it or being mean, like, here you go again, you know, doing this thing that you always do, like really bringing empathy to it the way that you would for a friend or for a client. And then going into that empowered self and cultivating that as a practice in your business and in your life, so that the decisions that you make, and like, this is the thing that I often say that I love most about coaching. I have so many young parts, inner children, inner teenager, like fear-based parts that want to run away. And what coaching has given me is the opportunity to witness them and remember that I don't have to make decisions based on that part, that I can pause before I send the email, that I can go on a walk, that I can take a beat to reground myself and regulate my nervous system, that I have this superpower where I am in the driver's seat of my own life, and that every decision that I make, I actually have agency over. And if that means slowing down to make sure that I make the best possible decision, that I'm empowered to do that, to take that space, to create that, to be that. And the more and more you lean into that, the more you'll see that the result of that is an incredible business and body of work that you can be proud of, because it was created from that part of you that was always meant to create this thing that you want to have. So I'm praying for that for you in 2024. I want to live in the world where that exists. I say that all the time, but it's so true. Like, there really is no difference between business and like using business basically as a personal development tool and like a healing incubator. I was talking about this with my partner last night. I said, we were having coffee and I said something along the lines of like, to me, the entire point of existence, of life, is relationship. And he was talking about how for him, it was like his creative pursuits and like bringing his creative vision forth, but that he thought that what those things had in common was the joy that they bring you. And I was very clear, like, I'm not in this for the joy. Like, yes, I love my clients. I like love being in community with them. I do get a lot of joy out of teaching. I get a lot of joy out of like watching people have breakthroughs. I get a lot of joy about feeling like my work contributes to making a meaningful difference. But what I'm actually in it for is the growth. And the growth is the part that is not fun, that is often uncomfortable, that often really challenges me, that the young part in me is like, I don't want to do this. I want to go binge watch some mindless television show and like, you know, hide under the covers. Like, I don't want the growth. But to me, the whole point of entrepreneurship, of business building, of relationship, of collective liberation, is to look at what we do not want to see exist in the world and come up with better ways of doing and being and embodying them and being in relationship with each other. And I really see what I do as a business coach is helping people who can make the world a better place, whether it's through what they actually do in their businesses or because they are happier and more fulfilled in their lives because of how they relate to their businesses, so that we can go out into the world and be kinder to each other and work to build the systems that will help to co-create a better world. I am in this for that. And I cannot create that from the part of me that is afraid of failing, afraid of embarrassing herself, afraid of getting it wrong, focusing on shit that ultimately doesn't matter. And neither can you. So if you can be in community with me of conjuring the world that we want to see created by committing to leaning into that part of ourselves that has agency to do better and to be better in 2024, we all need that from each other. So please commit to that with me. I am in it with you. I love you so much. Have a happy holidays, and I'll see you in the new year.